Lord Jesus, we turn our heart again to you.
Amen.
Lord, we do look to you.
Amen.
That you would speak this morning.
Amen.
Our trust and confidence are in you.
Amen.
Or we don't trust in ourselves.
Amen.
Open the word to us this morning.
Amen.
That we can hear you speaking.
Amen.
Anoint the word and anoint our ears.
Amen.
We pray in your precious name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This morning, we have some very, very precious verses. Where are those verses? Those verses are in Romans 5, 10, 17, and 21. That is the focus of my burden. We don't read them now, we'll read them in due course. But if we get into these verses, if we experience these verses, we will really be another person. Because we will be saved in his life. And by being saved in his life, we will have the abundance of grace. And by means of the abundance of grace, we will reign in life. So, that's a message. But we will start by 2 Corinthians 4, 7. Because we always need a reminder of how wonderfully God made us. God made us tripartite. We have three parts. However, not all three parts are just as important. I think we need a reminder that the most important part is our spirit. So in 2 Corinthians 4, 7, let's read this verse. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not out of us. Well, surely 1 Thessalonians 5:23 tells us that we are made in three parts. But the wonderful part, the wonderful point, that actually, we were made a vessel to contain God.
Amen.
This is what 2 Corinthians 4, 7 tells us. We are the earthen vessels, but we have a treasure in us. I don't know how you feel about that, but to me it's so reassuring, so sweet. So encouraging. I don't need to look at the earthen vessel. I rather should look at the precious treasure. As it says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus.
Amen.
May we this morning look unto Jesus,
Amen.
The treasure in the earthen vessel.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, how we thank the Lord that we are in three parts. So, of course, we know the body is to enable us to live physically. The soul is our being, our person, and the soul enables us to enjoy psychological things. But the spirit is for us to contact God.
Amen.
But you know what? With the body, of course, we need to take care of the body, right? We need to get enough sleep. We need to get enough nutrition. We need to get enough liquid. But what about the spirit? The spirit needs to be exercised.
Amen.
If we don't exercise our spirit, it makes no difference if we have a spirit or not, right? So we need to exercise our spirit. But you know, sometimes we may read a verse and saints are half asleep. So the brother who asks us to read the verse will say, "Read it in spirit." And what happens? Then it's real loud. But that's not it. Just by speaking loudly, that is not exercising our spirit. As Brother Benjamin mentioned last Lord's Day, to exercise our spirit is to exercise the functions of the spirit. And the functions we know are three, right? The conscience, the leading part, the leading function. I think with the conscience, we don't need much explanation. We all know what the conscience is. The conscience tells us, you're right. No, you're wrong. Right? So how we need to exercise our spirit? By exercising our conscience. So we can have a conscience voice void of offense. Void of offense towards man and towards God. Then our conscience will be exercised. Then we have the intuition. The intuition is the sense in our spirit. And sometimes we may say, God spoke to us. We know God doesn't speak audibly, but God gives us a sense in our spirit. And we need to say amen to whatever that sense is. Because if we don't say amen to the intuition, it will diminish. But the more we say amen to the intuition, the stronger it gets. And then the third part is the fellowship. And concerning our fellowship, we have some points. Brother Benjamin mentioned John 4:24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truthfulness. So, to exercise the fellowship function of the spirit is to be able to worship him. And this morning we did worship him. And it was so enjoyable, so sweet, so precious. Then, not only that, Romans 1:9, Paul tells us that he served in spirit. So, by exercising the fellowship of the spirit, we can serve God in spirit. Finally, the third point, Ephesians 6:18. Pray at all times in spirit.
Amen.
We exercise the fellowship function of the spirit by praying. So, how precious this is. And then, also, in Romans 8:16, it tells us the Spirit witnesses with our spirit. A reminder, whenever we exercise our spirit, the Spirit of God is mingled with our spirit. So actually exercising our human spirit entails exercising in the Spirit of God. So, Romans 8 unveils to us how the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit dispenses himself as life. I think we've had Romans 8 a few times, so we don't need to describe how the triune God dispenses himself. And he dispenses himself for what? To make us his sons. And as his sons, to constitute us into his body. So, to be saved in the divine life of Christ is something which actually is progressive. Among Christians, it's quite common to say, "Have you been saved?" Well, normally our reply would be, "Yes." But if we want to be accurate, we should say, "Yes, in certain things we're saved, but in others we are being saved." Of course, concerning our redemption, our judicial salvation, everything is done. But concerning our organic salvation, concerning being saved in his life, although Romans 5:10 says much more, but we really need much more. There are items that we are not saved from. So we will cover some of those. But that's not the focus. The focus is reigning in life. Well, we may be wonderful Christians enjoying the Lord one moment. What happens? We lose our temper. And that is actually an indication that we are not saved in life in full. At least concerning our temper, we're not saved. So we need more life to be saved more. We can't say we are completely saved. When we lose our temper, what do we say? "Oh, wretched man that I am," with Paul. But, praise the Lord, this takes time. Being saved in life is not instantaneous. And I think we all can testify there are things that the Lord has saved us from. It's not that there's no salvation in life, but we need the progression. So that brings us to Romans 5:10, this precious verse. "For if we, being enemies, were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more we will be saved in his life, having been reconciled." So here we see, actually, if we consider the book of Romans in total, the whole book, actually, before this verse, it talks about judicial salvation. But from this verse on, 12 chapters talk about the organic salvation. And this is where we will be this morning. So we as God's redeemed people are saved in the divine life of Christ. We need to be saved every day. We need to be saved from many things, from many situations. First of all, we need to be saved from sin, from the slavery of sin, released from the bondage of sin. Amen. And it tells us in Romans 8, in verse 2, that the law of the Spirit of life saves us from the law of sin. We will come to that in a minute. And then verse 6 tells us that the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. How we need to cooperate with God by setting our mind on the mingled spirit. And then verse 4 tells us that the righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled in us if we walk according to the Spirit. So, we need to be saved by the life of Christ, by the sanctification of the Spirit from the present age of the world. Romans 12:2. So we are saved in the divine life from many things. Not only from sin, but from our natural life. That is very difficult. Our naturalness. We are natural by nature, right? We all have a natural life, a natural disposition. How many times we do things, whether right or wrong or whatever, because of our disposition? Our disposition rules us if we're not careful, we don't watch. And these natural elements constitute us enemies of God and hinder our growth in life. So the law of sin is related mainly to our flesh, but our natural being is our self. For the sake of God's purpose, we need to be saved in the life of Christ from our naturalness. We're also saved in the divine life of Christ from individualism. What is individualism? That is from being individualistic. Because we all have the tendency to be individualistic. None of us naturally likes to be one with others. I appreciate it so much. This morning, we sang about being one. Right. Praise the Lord. Amen. In the Lord Jesus, we are one. Amen. As we're saved in His life, we are one. But in ourselves, we are not one. No way, Jose. The way we are is me, myself, and I. Period. So how we need to be delivered. A wife doesn't want to be dependent on the husband, nor a husband on the wife. We are an empire to ourselves. How we need to be delivered. God's intention is not to have a group of individualistic believers. You know, in a building, that means the materials are piled up. We need the building. But we cannot be built up if we're not one. We need to be one. Not a group of individualistic believers. So the body of Christ can be built up, so that God's purpose can be carried out. That brings us to Romans 10, verses 12 and 13. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, and rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. So this is a way to being saved in life. You know, we're used to call on the Lord when the roof caves in. But if that doesn't happen, we don't normally call on the Lord, which means we don't normally receive life. If we call on the Lord, we receive the life of God. Because it tells us here, the Lord, the same Lord is Lord of all and rich to all. When we call, the Lord is rich means He infuses His life into us. This is not merely a doctrine. This is not merely a practice. It's our salvation in life. Amen. To call on the name of the Lord. Whenever we call on the name of the Lord, we enjoy His saving life. May the Lord be so merciful to us that we call more. Not only when the roof caves in, but that we have the habit of calling on the Lord. That brings us to Romans 8:2, which we already mentioned. The law of the Spirit of life has freed me in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and of death. After we have been saved from God's condemnation, from the lake of fire, we need to be saved first from the law of sin. The law of sin has the besetting power of sin. And what does this involve? It's very, very interesting. This involves not only sin, but death. Wherever sin is, death is there. But one point I was really, really touched with concerning death. Death is the inability to fulfill God's requirements. Wow. That means if God wants me to come early to the meeting and I come late, I am dead. Oh my goodness, that doesn't sound good. If God wants the sons and daughters to obey the parents and they don't obey the parents, they are dead. From God's point of view, if we don't fulfill God's requirements, if we don't do His will, we are dead. I know this is not our concept, how we need our mind to be renewed so that we can be delivered from our sloppiness, from our laziness, from our passivity, from our inertia. All these things prevent us from enjoying the saving in the life of God. So we need to be delivered from death. How we pray that we could be those who are diligent, who have a proper living, who not only have a proper living, but a righteous living. We know and we tell each other very often that the base of God's kingdom is righteousness. So this is what we need in our daily living, by being saved in His life. Then that brings us to Hebrews 7:25. Hence also He is able to save to the uttermost those who come forward to God through Him, since He lives always to intercede for them. I don't know that we have much impression that the Lord Jesus is our high priest and that the Lord Jesus is praying for us. I believe if we ever do something wrong, we may think the Lord Jesus is a judge, right? Well, of course, if we do something wrong, He cannot agree with it, but still, He prays for us. Remember in Luke what the Lord told Peter, that the enemy wanted to shake the disciples, but He said, I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. So he's praying for us. But if he is in the third heaven praying for us, that's kind of objective. We need to come forward to him so that we can be saved. He can save us. He's a life-giving spirit. He can impart life to us only if we come to him. So we need to come to him more and more, not just for morning watch, but whenever a situation presents itself. You know, how many decisions do we make every day? Right? Lots of them. How do we do them? Automatic pilot. Right? But we need to say, Lord, what about this? What do you think? How do you feel? After all, he is our beloved. We need to remember this. So, we need to have fellowship with the Lord concerning our need to be saved in his life, so we can fulfill the requirements of God. Otherwise, we are short of life. We need more life. We need life abundantly. Remember, the Lord Jesus said in John 10:10 that he had come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Do we have abundant life? Or actually, we're short of life? Well, each one of us can tell because of our daily living. Actually, the life of God is the resurrection life. What does this mean? This means that this life has been proven, has gone through death and then resurrection. And this life is powerful. This life resurrected the Lord Jesus. Nothing can stand on the way of this life. In Philippians 3:10, Paul said that he wanted to know the power of the Lord's resurrection. This is very, very powerful. Then we come to Romans 12. Romans 12:3-5. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to be sober-minded, as God has apportioned to each a measure of faith. For just as in one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. This is a very good teaching, a very good, you might say, warning from the Apostle Paul. What do I mean by this? I mean that actually, we all need to consider, do we think ourselves more highly than we should think? If we think we are right, for whatever reason, if we think we're right and everybody else is wrong, we are wrong. So we need to be careful. We need to be those who are actually thinking in a sober way. We need to be sober-minded to be saved from individualism. So that way we can be built up in the body. we're being saved in this life also from death. Not only from sin, but also death by sanctification, transformation. Transformation is something organic, metabolic, where a new element is added, the old element is taken away. That is the way we are transformed. We are not transformed by merely fixing our face. Maybe we have an ugly face, right? We can do facial surgery. No, that's not it. It's something inward, not outward. We're independent. Why? Why are we independent? Why are we different? Why we feel if we're asked to do something, we don't want to do it? Why do we feel everybody else is wrong, but I'm right? Because that's the way we are, naturally speaking. So how we need to be saved, to be brought into a new realm. You know, when we're saved, we can very clearly see the condition of those who are not saved. And therefore, we preach the gospel. When we are in the body, when we're being built up in the body, we likewise can see those who are not built, how we need to be built in the body. Because if we're not living in the body, we feel we're the only ones. We feel we're more important than anything else on the earth, and that we are everything. How we need to be delivered. You know, we need to be built up together in the body of Christ, to be saved from individualism in our natural life. When we're not going along with others and not being one with others, we become individualistic. May the Lord deliver us from that. You know, maybe some brothers, some sisters don't agree with the elders. Maybe they feel that they're right. Individualism is difficult to lead to deal with because it's in our blood. This is the way we are, but how we need to be built together in the body of Christ. And that saves us from individualism. The life of Christ also saves us from divisiveness. Although we talk a lot about oneness, We don't like to be one. We like to be ourselves, period. And that if we are this way, we are in death. In our natural makeup, there's an element of divisiveness. Divisiveness is worse than naturalness, is worse than individualism. If someone is individualistic, he prefers to be left alone. He doesn't want to be anybody to bother him. But to be divisive is to cause division in an active way. In contrast to those who are individualistic, the divisive are aggressive to form parties. They contact the saints with the aim of dividing them. So all of us have this natural tendency to be divisive. And we insist on the things we like, on the things we want to do. Such insisting does far more than expose our lack of wisdom. It exposes the very element of divisiveness rooted deep within our natural being. Because of this element, we have the tendency to divide ourselves from others to form our own kind of group. What a mercy it is to be in the church life.
Amen.
In the church life, being built together, we don't have such things. We're delivered from such things. We have the genuine oneness. It is of His mercy that we can be one. What is our standing? We all have the element of divisiveness within us. Nevertheless, we should never excuse divisiveness, and we should never take occasion to be divisive. Our destiny is to be one with all genuine Christians. So for this, we need to grow in life. The more we grow in Christ's life, the more we shall be saved in His life. To be saved from divisiveness, we need to grow. Then that brings us to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brothers, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be attuned in the same mind and in the same opinion. This word, attuned, is the same word as translated mending in Matthew 4:21. Actually, it's a musical term, right? Have harmony. It means to repair, to restore, to adjust, to mend, make a broken thing thoroughly complete, joined perfectly together. So it means more than just being attuned. The Corinthian believers were divided. They needed mending to join them perfectly together. Because the testimony of the church in Corinth had been damaged, Paul wrote this epistle to mend this situation. The problem of the Corinthians was not with their spirit. They had been regenerated. The Lord dwelt in their spirit. The problems were with the mind and their opinions. You know, it tells us in this verse that you all speak the same thing. When we think, we are using the mind. When we have opinion, we are speaking what is in our mind. So here it talks about speak the same thing. If we speak the same thing, we're not going to have our own opinion. So this must be our standing among us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Suppose we come to the meeting hall and all of a sudden we find the chairs are set up differently. They're set up like for a wedding. We don't like that. We want it the way it is on the Lord's Day. Forget about it. Forget about your opinion. Forget about our concept. Forget about our likes and dislikes. We need to be one. We all need to be one. Not to be distracted by outward things. And in this way, we can be saved from divisiveness. That brings us to 1 Corinthians 1:13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Christ certainly is not divided. Christ is unique. Christ is one. So we need to realize This is a fact, not a teaching, not a doctrine, but a fact. Christ is unique and is not divided. Now we go to Romans 14:19. So then let us pursue the things of peace and the things for building up one another. We need to build up one another. But then we need to pursue the things that are for building one another. That's what we need to be involved in. You know, the salvation life to be enjoyed tastes so sweet. So we not only need to understand this truth, but we need to experience them. Amen. The life of God in Christ enables us to live the church life in a locality. Praise the Lord. Amen. The living of the church life in a locality saves us from our self-view, self-goal, and division. Each one of us has our own view, but the church life takes care of our own view. Amen. You might say, oh, wait a minute. Do you mean to say that I will be boxed in? Do you mean to say that my opinion will be obliterated? If that's what it takes to build up the body of Christ, yes, indeed. We need to do that. Then, the church life is both local and universal. We need to go to conferences so we can enjoy being blended with the saints. We don't have time to cover more of that. So finally, that brings us to the most precious part, that is Romans 5:17 and 21. Romans 5:17 first. For if by the offense of the one, by the offense of Adam, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace. Ah, wait a minute. What is grace? When I was in a denomination, I thought it was unmerited favor. But by now we should know, grace is God Himself. But here's the point. Grace is God Himself enjoyed by us. Not objectively, not in teaching, not in doctrine, but enjoyed by us. That's why I mentioned about enjoying the Lord last week. You know, if you frown, if you look upset, you're not enjoying the Lord. So how necessary it is for us to enjoy the Lord, right? Because it says you receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. When you enjoy the Lord, your living will be righteous. Amen. Then what? Reign in life? My goodness. I thought that was for the millennial kingdom. We can reign in life. If what? If we have the abundance of grace and we have the gift of righteousness. We'll reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Well, we better keep going. Finally, verse 21. In order that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this is what we need, saints. Amen. We need to have more life. Amen. We need to enjoy Christ. How precious that we can enjoy Him. Now we have some important announcements. Please listen carefully. First of all, you can sign up for the training, the live training in Anaheim, and the forms are in the service counter. Also, we have some copies, not for everybody, of the expanded morning watch in the service counter. You can pick them up. And now, I change my hat, and as a secretary of the corporation, I hereby announce that October 7th, Tuesday, at 9 p.m., we will have a corporate meeting. What is this corporate meeting for? To authorize the Board of Trustees to negotiate the purchase of a property in Rose Avenue in Flushing. Amen. Praise the Lord. So now will be the time of prayer. Those going to the language meetings will do so. And after the prayer, we will have the mics so we can all hear your enjoyment of Christ. Praise the Lord. Let's pray.